So today we're continuing our reading of Shriya Bhagavatamrita. We reached chapter 7 of the first part. Chapter entitled Purna, the Complete Perfection. Krishna and Balaram have been brought to New Vrindavan, Nava Vrindavan, on the direction of Lord Brahma, who has tried to make a plan for easing the situation. Krishna is emotionally upset because of his feelings of separation for the Brajvasis. And the more he remembered them, and the more he heard the discussion among the intimate associates of his in Dwarka, the more upset he became emotionally. Finally, he and Balaram fainted together. And then Rama came and directed Garuda to carry them to New Vrindavan. And now there's a kind of drama going on here. We have to put this reading into context. There's a kind of drama going on here. When they were carried by Garuda, Balaram woke up first, and then when they arrived, he understood what was going on. So he very carefully changed Krishna's dress into a cowherd boy, and his own dress into a cowherd boy. And Rohini was there, and Rohini, you know, was in Vrindavan. She was the only Dwarkavasi who actually was present and who participated and knew, you know, the Vrajvasis and the moods of the Vrajvasis and so many things. So she was given permission by Lord Rama to go there so that she could help, like, in the unfolding of this drama, so that Krishna could be gently brought back to his normal state of consciousness. Of course, we might wonder why the devotees would want to bring Krishna back to a normal state of consciousness when in fact he's in the highest state of ecstasy. But this is the nature of the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. These symptoms, although they are all auspicious, still, from an external point of view, they seem inauspicious to the residents of Dwarka because they could not associate with Krishna. Anything that separates us from Krishna, anything that separates us from being able to associate with Krishna, you know, we try to remove those obstacles. So therefore, everyone was worried and they wanted Krishna to come back to his normal state of consciousness so they could be with him and they could, you know, exchange loving affairs with him, etc., etc. So then what happened was, because Vishwakarma had constructed this New Vrindavan in a way that there were duplicates of the Brajvasis there, like deity forms, like murtis, like dioramas. And so when Krishna woke up finally, there was Nanda Maharaj standing in front of him. So Nanda Maharaj, Krishna immediately felt guilty, you know, because he had slept in. You know how it is when you sleep in, you know, you feel guilty. If you're a good devotee and you sleep in, then you feel guilty. This is the nature. This is the test of our sincerity. It's a test of whether, you know, we are, serious. If Prabhupada used to say, if a good person does something bad, then he feels bad about it. And if a bad person does something bad, he doesn't feel. He feels good. He feels good about it. Anyway, so Krishna's not in that category, but still, he is dutiful because he is the Supreme Person. He has to set the perfect example for everyone. So, seeing his father in front of him when he woke up and realizing he had overslept, it was light outside. So he immediately paid his obeisances because he had been trained like that. This is the Vedic culture, to be trained, to be submissive to authority. Everyone, even Krishna, the Supreme Authority, he is submissive to his authority, his spiritual masters, parents, his senior people. He's submissive. he's not always fighting against them like we always do in our conditioned state. Every time somebody, whether they're higher or lower or whatever, they bring up any little suggestion to us, we always defend ourselves and fight against it. And this way we tend to perpetuate ourselves in illusion, and we tend not to cut loose the ballast of material conditioning, material concepts that hold us in the material world. Srila Prabhupada used to use the example that, you know, Krishna consciousness is like a big hot air balloon. You know, it wants to go up and go up, but there's all this ballast that keeps it from going up. So the idea is we throw the ballast overboard. You know, when they're on a hot air balloon and they want to go up, they take the sandbag or whatever it is they're carrying with weight and they throw some weight out and then they go up. So our, you know, offenses and the obstacles and our mistakes and our misconceptions and our ignorance and all these things that keep us grounded in material consciousness and keep us from going up and feeling and tasting ecstatic feelings when we're doing devotional service, they're meant to be cast away. So Krishna, he's the perfect example. He's the Supreme Person, the perfect, absolute, unlimited Supreme Person. And one of the things that he does in that capacity is he sets the perfect example. So therefore, when he woke up and he saw its light outside and he slept in, he felt guilty, Nanda Maharaj is there in that form of a Dhyarama, and he immediately paid obeisances and, you know, sorry. And then we saw Mother Yashoda. And to Mother Yashoda, because the mother is more, I'm repeating some of these things because we didn't record yesterday's class, so I want to get some of these things in to make the continuity of the thought. Don't mind, please. So, you know, because the mother is, the son is, you know, closer to the mother. It's easier to talk to the mother. So, you know, he's giving excuses to Mother Yashoda, reasons. Don't worry, I had this dream. I had this dream, I was, you know, I'd left here and I'd gone to this, you know, big city and all these things were happening and, I thought, I couldn't tell whether I was awake or dreaming and therefore I didn't get up. So that's where we are in the reading. Catch us up to date. We'll begin reading text 33. Guayantam mahascharyam asambhavyam namanyate bhavata chettadharanye gatva vakshami vistarat. Dear respected brother, if you don't think this wonderful matter impossible, I'll explain it to you in detail when we go to the forest. Commentary. Baladev might think that one could not see such a complex dream in just a few minutes, just before awaking. Krishna therefore assures him that this was a dream he really had. Later in the morning, Krishna says, when they have some time to sit together, he will gladly describe it all. So he's in a hurry. This is Krishna speaking now to Balaram. First he spoke to Nanda, then to Yashoda, now he's speaking to Balaram, who's there, actually there. And he's saying, anyway, you may not believe me, but this dream really happened, and there's so many details, I can prove it. But we don't have time now, we have to go, because the cows are waiting, right? And so then they're going to go. Text 34. Shri Parikshita uvacha evam sambhasya jananim abhimanya sasadaram manabhokyat suraksha rohinyukto chavirpa abhimyana gyaya. Shri Parikshita said, after speaking in this way, Krishna offered his mother proper respects. Then the very expert Rohini sensed that Krishna wanted some food to take with him to the forest. Commentary. While in the forest, one generally eats such simple things as rice mixed with yogurt. by observing the way Krishna moved his lotus hands and by other signs of his body language, Rohini, smart and practical, discerned that Krishna was thinking about such forest food. She quickly reasoned that since the artificial Mother Yashoda could not provide Krishna's meal or even say anything, Krishna might become suspicious if he were to ask food from Yashoda, and she failed to respond. To avoid this potential disaster, Rohini moved into action before Krishna could say anything about being hungry. So now we see the reason, Lord Brahma is so intelligent, the reason that he allowed Rohini to be there is being played out nicely. Rohini knew very subtle things. She was very intelligent, you know. Sometimes when we hear this statement in the Vedas that women are less intelligent, we misunderstand it, especially for men. But actually, you know, in some fields, in some areas, women are more intelligent. In some areas, they're not. But in this area, when it comes to looking at the sun and determining what the sun needs by how he's looking and how he's, you know, before the sun even will say anything, they know. This is the intelligence of the mother. So sharp, and so sensitive, and so loving, and so nourishing. So Rohini could see by the way Krishna was moving and talking that actually he was hungry, and that he wanted some food. So normally, you know, Mother Yashoda would send Krishna into the forest with some food to eat. Here it's mentioned, you know, rice with fruit. Simple things. You know, when you go into the forest, you don't necessarily have banquet. You have simple things, fruit and roots and, you know, maybe chipped rice, you know, with yogurt. And, you know, when you're traveling, you know, when you're traveling on the train and you have something that is easy to take and easy clean and simple, like that in the forest. So, you know, Rohini anticipated that Krishna may start to interchange with Yashoda, and Yashoda, being a Dairava, would not be able to actually speak, and then Krishna may get suspicious and this may ruin the plan, Brahma's plan. So she said, anyway, don't worry, I'll bring you food, I'm going to get the food and bring it to you. So you won't waste time, but you can go. This is the love, the paternal love, Vatsalya Ras. And again, as I've been kind of emphasizing, I hope no one minds if I repeat something over and over again, because it's so important. This point is so important for us to hear again and again. That, you know, devotional service is personal. And here we're hearing about the most elevated levels of devotional service. And what it really has to do is with pleasing the senses of the Supreme Being. You know, in our neophyte condition, we think, oh, God is great, I'm small, what can I do? And then we tend to take the order, have God be the order supplier for us, so that we're peaceful, so that we have everything we need, so that everything is okay. But this is not elevated devotional service. Elevated devotional service means that when you're thinking always of Krishna, and always thinking of how Krishna can be pleased. Just like when you come in and you see the altar, and all the roses have come out. So now we can put nice roses, everybody becomes very happy. Why they become happy? Because, you know, you're offering something nice to Krishna. It's very pleasing. It'll be very pleasing to Krishna's senses. Rather than think about, you know, decorating ourselves with the roses or giving the roses to some girlfriend or something, you know, the way they do in the material world. We are very happy and ecstatic when the roses come out and we can give a whole wheelbarrow full of roses to the deities. And the altar becomes so fragrant and so beautiful and this way Krishna is pleased. So this is, you know, what devotional service is, in essence. Of course, devotional service is so many things, but in essence, it is the act of using our own mind and senses to give pleasure to the minds and senses of Krishna and Krishna's loving associates and the devotees. And the more we can capture this mood and actually be motivated by that mood to think and feel and will in a way to please others' senses. The more we become liberated from the attachment to our own material identities and our own material bodies, this is the progression of devotional service. You know, the the root that is holding us, or the anchor, rather, the anchor that is holding us in the material world is our identifications with our bodies. We're thinking we are the body. We're feeling, we're willing. We're thinking, we're feeling, we're acting as if we are the bodies. And therefore, naturally, we think first of our own pleasure. And therefore, naturally, we, the things that we do are done in such a way to make ourselves satisfied. This is the anchor. And what it means to realize spiritual realization has, there's a spectrum of spiritual realization. And the beginning of that spiritual realization is to actually understand by analysis, by reading, by hearing and understanding and reading these literatures, to understand that we are not the body. That is the root that's keeping us in the material world, the conception that we are the body. So by analysis and by understanding and by acceptance, because you can't actually accept something unless you understand it. And the more deeper you understand something, the more deeper your acceptance of that thing. And the more deeper your acceptance of that thing, the easier it is for you to act in that capacity. So the first realization in spiritual life is that we're not the body. But that's just the beginning of self-realization. Okay, so I'm not the body, but that's a negative conception. I'm not this. But then what am I? You see? So by performing devotional service, the spiritual senses, the spiritual intelligence, the spiritual mind become awakened, enlivened, and then we can understand that we are actually parts of Krishna, that we are actually servants. No matter who we are, no matter what our material position is in the Varnashram, you know, no matter what our duties are, no matter how elevated or how simple our positions, our lives are, our responsibilities are, we are servants of Krishna. That was the first instruction that Lord Chaitanya gave to Sanatana Goswami when he asked the question. Sanatana Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya and he said, you know, everybody is worshipping me because I know this and I know that. I'm a big person in the government. I'm a scholar and I know this language. But actually, I'm none of those things. I'm a fool because I don't know who I am. Who am I? This is the proper mood and the proper way for a disciple to approach the spiritual master and to approach spiritual knowledge and to approach higher spiritual authorities submissively. Tadvidi Panipatina Pariprashnina Sevya, submissively and with the idea of rendering service in knowledge. Jnanas Tatpadarshana. And because the spiritual master and elevated devotees, they know, they actually have realized, they understand, they more than understand, they know. They know how to explain things in a way that can give you, give us understanding and realization. Therefore, it's very, very important. So, therefore, Sanatana Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya and asked this question, who am I? Everyone thinks that I'm this and I'm that, but I don't know who I am, therefore I'm a fool. Please enlighten me. Please explain this to me, who I am. And then, you know, that famous verse that Lord Chaitanya quoted, that you are a servant of Krishna. Hare Krishna. But the level of devotional service and understanding that's being spoken here in Brihadbhagavatamrita, in the seventh chapter, the first part, is much more than the realization that, you know, we're not the body or that we're, you know, a part of Krishna. it's more specific. The more our self-realization becomes specific, the freer we become from the body and the more attached we become to Krishna. And the more serious we become in our devotional practices, the more absorbed we become in Krishna and thoughts of Krishna and how to please Krishna and the feelings that come from trying to please Krishna, then the more gradually our station in the spiritual world will be revealed to us. And then when we come to this level of devotional service, then we know who we are specifically, and we know exactly what to do, how to think to please Krishna the most, because if we're in our natural position, you know, we'll be the most pleasing. We'll know what to say and do to be the most pleasing to Krishna. It's just like I had this accident that my arm, just the hand, this part is a part of my body. No, this is a part of my body. Its natural position is to serve the body, is to act a certain way. You know, Prabhupada, in a very funny way, he would say, yes, you know, pick up the rasgula. And then you pick the hand, well, yes, of course, it picks up the rasgula, and then you eat the rasgula, and then you're pleased. Why? Because the hand is working, you know, as a part of the body to please the self. Right? But now it won't do that. There are certain things that I still, to this day, after all these months, I can't do. So it's not pleasing. It's not comfortable. It's not, there's discomfort. So like that, when we're actually in our position of knowing who we are with Krishna, knowing what our identity is and what we, and we're acting, thinking and feeling and willing and acting on that platform, oh, then we become most satisfied. Not only is our service most satisfying to Krishna, but because we're part of Krishna, we become most pleased. We become most satisfied. So this is the thing that's missing in human society, both for us as individuals and in the collective sense, society at large. They're missing this point. And therefore, no matter what try to arrangement they try to make by becoming more technologically advanced, by making things more, you know, this way or that way, still, this is the overall atmosphere of society is becoming more and more agitated. It's becoming more and more, there's more and more problems, more and more social ills, more and more need for mental hospitals and regular hospitals and jails and, you know, all these things. Because everyone has forgotten who they are in relationship to Krishna. They don't know how to act. They don't know how to feel. They don't know how to think. So, Rohini is exhibiting the highest level of devotional service. Seeing what the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants, you know, before he even wants it, and then providing the right solution, the right thing. So she's saying, never mind, just go ahead to the forest, we'll take care, you know, you'll get your food. Text 35. Sri Rohini Ubacha Bhobatsitava Mathadya Tanidradi Kyasin Chintaya Twat Ika Putta Dushteva Tat Alam Bhagavartaya. Sri Rohini said, dear child, your mother has no other son but you. She was so worried today by your extra sleeping that now she feels a bit ill. So I think we have talked enough. So Yashoda is standing there and she can't say anything. Her eyes are wide, her mouth like this, but she can't say it. And so Rohini's covering for her and putting Krishna's mind at ease so that Krishna can go on with his daily activities. Agrito nishtrita gastam Gopangs chanu saradutam mayo paskriti sadbhogyam vanamadye praheshyate. The cows and boys tending them have already gone ahead. You should quickly follow them. I will prepare some nice refreshments for you and send them to you in the forest. So he's so intelligent, Mother Rohini, so subtle and so intelligent. Not only does she think, you know, to tell him don't worry, but she gives him a nice reason why, you know, he should go ahead quickly. Because they're already gone. Look, where are they? They've already gone. Hurry, hurry. And that way Krishna won't dwell there and start to wonder about Mother Yashoda, what's going on here, he'll just go. It needs to happen naturally. When we wake up, like in the morning, the best way to wake up is naturally. If someone comes up and you're not ready to wake up and shakes you, it's like a big thing. It's like a trauma. You don't feel right, you get up and you hold the rest of your days. This can't be, you know, quite right. So this is natural. There's a natural way that Krishna is going to come back to his normal. And this is Lord Brahma's extremely intelligent plan. How Krishna can be there in Vrindavan, associate with all his old friends, his family, and gradually he will come. We'll see how this happens. Very naturally, very nicely. Therefore Krishna can come to his real state and go on with his mission. Yeah, I have it.